This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Adam Carriker Show. Real quick, I do want to give a shout out to some of our sponsors, good partners of this fine program. Shout out to Suizo Construction. Ladies and gentlemen, safety is not just a policy, it is a promise. All right, Suizo is hiring skilled craftsmen, laborers, concrete workers, and steel erectors who value quality work and a team that has your back both on and off the job site. Apply today at Suizo.com. 40 years strong in business. Again, that's Suizo Construction at Suizo.com. S-C-H-W-I-S-O-W.com. At this time, I would like to bring on our special guest for today. I want to take the time to bring on Nebraska's former athletic director, Mr. Bill Moose. How you doing, my friend?
It's you, Adam?
Yeah, it's me. Can you hear me?
I can, loud and clear. How you been?
Dude, I'm glorious. How about yourself? Anything going on we're talking about recently?
Oh, there's been a lot. It's been interesting, say the least.
So, for those who don't know, Bill Moose wrote a book. It's called The Crab Creek Chronicles, From the Wheat Fields to the Ball Fields and Beyond, for those who want to check it out. So, obviously, a lot's come out. A lot of excerpts have come out from this, especially amongst Nebraska fans. I'm curious, before we dive into any specifics, what's some of the reaction you've got from people you knew at Nebraska, from people who maybe were aware of some of these situations who weren't? What's some of the reactions you've gotten to excerpts from the book and the book itself so far?
Well, it's been positive. There's been quite a few things written, and I've talked on some talk shows. And, you know, there's a lot of that content, Adam, people didn't know about. And for that part, you know, the writing this book was not only gratifying, but also therapeutic. And, you know, it's just my story. I'm not out to get anybody. I just wanted to tell my story. And that part has been a lot of fun.
So I know Jake wants to ask you in a minute here a specific question that he's got. One of the things that I'm curious about, you mentioned, I know you've talked about it other places, but for those who haven't heard, you thought maybe Scott Frost wasn't ready to be the head coach. You had basically an offer on the table to Chip Kelly, almost thought you'd kind of had it worked out. I'm curious, expand on it as much as you're comfortable. What made you think maybe Frost wasn't ready, and what made you think that Chip Kelly would be the guy that maybe the best fit for Nebraska?
Well, first of all, and I want to go on record saying that I think Scott Frost should have been the head football coach at Nebraska, but not at that time. I don't think he was ready, and it wasn't fair to him, and it really wasn't fair to the Nebraska fans and how great they are. And then one thing after another, once I hired him, went haywire from the first game being rained out and then on into COVID and injuries and everything. But you know Nebraska, Adam, and what a great player you were and all that. And there's a lot of people that have their hands into things. And it was almost like if I didn't hire Scott after, you know, having that great year that he did, and he ended up going to Florida or Tennessee, who were camped out in his front yard, I would have probably been toast. As far as Chip Kelly, I knew Chip from my days in Oregon. And of course, part of the irony of this is much of what Scott learned in the coaching profession, he learned from Chip. Chip was out of work. He'd been fired by the 49ers and was working at ESPN. And I wanted to sit down with him, and I did at his kitchen table before the 17 season was over. And I felt very positive. 5 hours we spent together, and it was very positive, but it was not met with a lot of satisfaction when I got back to Lincoln.
So it was kind of like, we really want to get Scott Frost here. And you know, it's easy to look back now and say, oh, what if? But at the time, he seemed to be the obvious hire. At least that's the way it seemed to a lot of folks, honestly, me included at that point in time. But you had a little bit more of inside firsthand look at this. I do remember one of the interviews you said, you mentioned when you first, because Matt Davidson was kind of the conduit to get to Scott Frost. But at first, when you reach out, maybe he wasn't that excited about the Nebraska job. Maybe there were some things he wasn't too thrilled about. Do you mind expanding on that a little bit?
No, Adam, I don't. Scott was somewhat repulsed, if I can use that word, at what had happened in Nebraska and really the mindset and some of the things that weren't in line with how things were when he was a player there and most probably when you were too. But and that was the message I was getting back from Matt at the time. But my, and in the book I write, hey, you get back to him and tell him, you know, I'm running this show here and things will get back to the way they were, because that's my intent. And to, you know, dust off that great brand of Nebraska football and get this thing back where it belongs and where it should be. And that was enough, I think, to intrigue Scott. But the number one thing I wanted to do, and I emphasize this in the book too, is not to directly bother him. He was in the midst of a miraculous season, ended up being 13-0, 6 in the nation, beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl. But these other places were firing their current coaches in mid-season. Now, what's that red flag? If they fired them in mid-season, they can fire me in mid-season. And so my experience, I stepped back, got my message to Scott through Matt Davidson, and fortunately, you know, at that time, it intrigued him, and we had that that interesting visit in Philadelphia late in the season.
Well, and again, Bill Moos joining us here, former Nebraska athletic director, with his new book out. And thank you again for doing this interview, the interview with Early Break. So we've got plenty of good questions in here. One thing that they didn't ask that I wanted to make sure to ask was the part in the book about how you explored the possibility of going back to the Big 12. I think that it would be interesting to a lot of Nebraska fans about why you kind of started to kind of peek around and look at that. And then obviously, you know, as we look at it today with the Big Ten and SEC kind of leading the way, do you still think that that might have been a good option at the time?
Yeah, and that is a great question. At the time that I was at Nebraska, it just didn't feel right. I grew up, and when I was a youngster and even when I was playing, it was the Big 8, and then it became the Big 12 with the fall of the Southwestern Conference, and Nebraska and Oklahoma were the prime players at the time. That rivalry was as good, if not the best, in the country, and as great as the fans were, and I love the fans. I got to say, I spent a lot of time with the great people in Nebraska. 310 visits around the state, public appearances in my first 20 months, and really got to know the people. And they don't complain, you know that, but it just didn't feel right. And as you're seeing, and Nebraska is experiencing still, the Big Ten is a boxing match. It's a slugfest every Saturday, and there are no easy ones. And I heard from a lot of people, you know, that it was in the old days when fans could drive to Kansas and Kansas State and Iowa State and Colorado, they'd fill those stadiums because their home fans wouldn't come because they were having dismal years or whatever. And it just seemed right. So I'd heard enough of that. And I mentioned it to Ronnie Green and at that time, Ted Carter, because he had replaced Hank Bounds. And Ronnie was skittish because of the academic piece. But Ted showed a lot of interest and said, let's keep this under the radar. Well, I had a very good and still do relationship with Bob Bowlesby, who was then the commissioner, who, in my opinion, saved the Big 12. And Bob and I were friends from our days together in the Pac-12 when he was at Stanford and I was at Washington State. And I went down as a guest to Jerry Jones to catch a Dallas Cowboys versus Pittsburgh game during that COVID year, and took the opportunity to get a hold of Bob and ask him to go to breakfast. We had a 3-hour breakfast, and he was very intrigued with the thought of Nebraska coming back. They were about to enter into some TV negotiations, and you know, to have that brand back. And I think, Adam, you know me somewhat. I said, hey, I think I might be able to talk to Colorado, and the people I know at Colorado, Rick George, who is AD, and they might be interested in jumping back in, and we could put the old band back together. Mm. And he went so far as to say, I think you could get a full share TV revenue and the whole thing, because, you know, we were Nebraska. I don't care what you say, still are. And so I got excited about that and came back, and Ted was intrigued with it and said, hey, let's keep that amongst ourselves. And then when the somewhat infamous discussion of pulling out of the Oklahoma series that was coming up to celebrate actually the game of the century, that came to the forefront, and it was at that time I told Ted, I told Ronnie, this isn't going to be on me, because if we pull out of that game, that series with Oklahoma, that'll be the end of any thoughts of going back to the Big 12. And that's when I was informed by the president that, well, that's not going to happen anyway. And I said, well, I wish you to let me know, because I'm looking like a fool right now with Bob Bowlsby and others, and kind of was the beginning of the end of my time in Lincoln.
So you look at it now, and the landscape of college football is very, very different than it was back then. Back then, obviously, you kind of wanted to go back to the Big 12. It wasn't met, obviously, it didn't work out. It wasn't met with a lot of support. Had that happened, how do you think that would have, because you talked about bringing Colorado, Nebraska would have been back. How do you think that would have played out as time unfolded into today's college football, now that we know what's happened in the years since then?
Yeah, as with all the realignments, Adam, and if I may say, the absurd direction that the industry...
Yeah.
This episode sponsored by Maximus Tribe. You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.
You may.
We could have a whole nother show on that, but in the aftermath of all of those things, and they're still happening, to be affiliated with the Big Ten or the SEC is where everybody wants to be. And in that regard, you know, we didn't have a magic wand when I was during my time at Nebraska. But the other part of that is look at the competition. You know, you got Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA. They're not going to be down for long. Watch out for the Huskies. Oregon's already—they waltz in and win the championship the first year, and right back in there the next year, and so forth. They're for real. And USC's a powerful brand, just like Nebraska. So the Big Ten is tough, and the good news is you don't have to win it now to get into the college football playoff. I think that's kind of how it was structured. But to win a Big Ten championship, very difficult anymore with the competition that was already there that I saw when I was on board, and it got a lot tougher in the recent couple years.
So talk to me about, because obviously we've discussed a little bit and it's been talked about, the Oklahoma game, Frost wanting to cancel it. Fortunately, that didn't happen. Nebraska actually goes out, plays pretty well, especially that first year out at Norman, represents pretty well. And the Rutgers game, you know, there was talk that we might not play the Rutgers game. You weren't too thrilled about that. Obviously, you mentioned that in your book. Fortunately, the Rutgers game does get played. Have you been asked about the team not playing in that bowl game and choosing not to play in that bowl game? And what was your reaction and what were your thoughts to that?
Both the Rutgers situation and the team vote on the bowl game, I went straight up and turned left. I had worked tirelessly to even get a schedule that COVID year. And to the extent that, you know, I all but got blackballed by the commissioner in the Big Ten. But my saying all along, I say in the book, and I stood firm, was Nebraska needs football and football needs Nebraska, and I'll go find a schedule. If the Big Ten isn't going to give us a schedule, we'll go find one. And of course, that didn't play well. We had members of the team that were suing the Big Ten. It was just a terrible situation, but we did play that Rutgers game that they didn't want to play, and I went bonkers on that. And then when the team voted, I mean, where are we when it? Can you imagine you guys voting not to go play in an Orange Bowl or a Sugar Bowl or whatever? And let me say this, and I say it in the book, and you know this, Adam. Back in the day when I was playing, there were like 6 bowl games. Mm-hmm. And in the Pac-8 and the Big Ten, if you didn't win the conference championship, the conference rules were you didn't play in a bowl game. But those who did got those 2 weeks of extra practice, and you add those up for a fifth-year senior, and it's almost a whole another season to develop players. And the great teams continued to be great because they basically had 2 sessions of spring football to develop those young players. You know, the average fan goes, well, you got 2 weeks to prepare to play Florida State. No, that isn't how it works, and you know that. You got 1 week to develop young players. Let your veterans, you know, heal a little bit, get adjusted to the game plan, and then the week before the bowl game, you get serious on your opponent. And I told Scott, I go, we haven't gone to a bowl game, and none of these members of this team, and they want to go home for Christmas and see their old girlfriend and open their packages. I tell you what, we got a whole lot more rough sledding ahead of us if we don't turn ourselves around and focus on how we get this brand back to where it belongs. And Scott said, would you come down and tell my team that? And I said, no, that's your job. And he called me that night at home, and you read it in the book, and said, hey, I talked to the team and we want to play in a bowl. And I go, Scott, they're all filled now. And I had gone to my connection with a guy by the name of Pete Derzes, who really ran the ESPN bowls, which pretty much is all of them. And he had 3 bowls to offer to me that he would hold for us if the rest of the bowls that we were contracted to by the Big Ten were filled. So we had a place to play, and our players didn't want to play. And I was just completely appalled with that. And, you know, it was just one more thing that we just couldn't get out of the rut.
So last question I got for you, Jake, if you have one after this, just give me a little hand signal here. But you talk about in your book how you didn't negotiate Scott Frost's extension. You were kind of informed that it had already happened. And I'm curious, obviously other people have input in decision-making processes, whether it be here at Nebraska or other universities, but you've been an AD multiple different places. I'm curious, had you experienced anything like that anywhere else you'd ever been where it was like, we extended your football coach and you're being informed rather than asked about it?
Absolutely not. And, you know, again, Nebraska is an interesting place because you have a system president, you have a chancellor, You have regents that are elected. So, you know, the constituents go, we don't like the football coach. You get that straightened out, you get that moose straightened out or whatever, or you're not going to get elected next time around. A lot of things, too many chefs in the kitchen, and I wasn't used to that. I got my butt chewed for even considering raising football season football price. I never heard of anything like that. And so there was a lot of competition between the president and the chancellor as who was favored by Scott Frost when that was tremendously harmful to what we were trying to do. So, yeah, I went and saw the game day guys before the Ohio State game, and I knew them from my previous stops and my previous jobs. And I was walking back and got a call from Ronnie Green, who had informed me that he had just extended Scott's contract. Well, we had given him a pretty good a deal to begin with. And we weren't, in my opinion, to a point in the master plan that should have been done, but I didn't even get a say in it. So that was $10 million, two more years. And we go out that day and get our lunch handed to us by the Buckeyes. And I don't think that it was even announced until a couple weeks later, but I didn't have any say in that.
Well, I appreciate your time. I believe Jake, my producer here, has got one last question for you, Mr. Moose. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, because by the end of your time here at Nebraska, you had mentioned it in the book, somewhat at odds, I suppose, with the powers that be with the University of Nebraska for both you and your family and that sort of stuff. Do you think that if you would have been allowed to stay, you know, longer, that maybe this Scott Frost tenure, you could have steered it in the right directions? Or do you feel like, again, with the power structure that was there at the time, that it would have been hard to get your hands on too much of it?
Well, I if you read closely in those chapters, I came out to the media, and maybe you guys remember it, when Scott, the media was starting to turn on Scott, and I said, hey, as long as I'm in this chair, he's going to be my football coach. I felt he needed that embrace, and I stuck by that. Well, all of a sudden, all these other things flare up, and you got a new president in Ted Carter, and things are rocky and all of that. So, hey, if we're going to get rid of Scott Frost, I'm just projecting this is what happened. We can't have a guy that's our athletic director that has gone on record saying he won't fire him. And so, you know, I left town, and lo and behold, probably what was it, 12 months later, if that, Scott Frost was without a job.
Well, Bill, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us again. For those who want to read the book in its entirety, again, that is the Crab Creek Chronicles, from the wheat fields to the ball fields and beyond. Again, thank you for taking the time to join us, Bill Moose. We appreciate it.
Adam, Jake, thank you. I'll come on anytime you want me. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you. All right, Jake. So we're just going to wrap up the show now. Is that the plan?
Yep.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. So a couple of things. If you're interested, check out the book. It is Bill Moose's perspective. It is how he sees things. And I was very curious to hear what he had to say. Obviously, he's done other interviews, been out there, done some talk shows. You could kind of get a grasp. I feel like there was some crossover, but I feel like we asked some unique questions here. And I wanted to get his perspective on the things that I hadn't heard just yet. Other people have done a phenomenal job chatting with him. But you can check out that book. That is his perspective. I'd be curious, you know, some of the people that are mentioned in the book, what's their perspective? What's their side of things? There's always two sides to every story. I've always found Bill to be pretty forthright, you know, straightforward to talk about how he sees things. Is there anything real quick off the text line? We got about, 90 seconds here before we go off the air today, Jake.
Yeah, there's a few thoughts there. Bob says, too much politics at Nebraska, which is why we still are a nobody in football. And Big Ty's kind of worried about the same thing. Said, I'm assuming this is still going on at the university. This is a big problem and explains a lot of the problems.
It's interesting because I actually look at Rule and I'm like, man, you know, he's got to be dealing with some of this. Troy Dan has got to be dealing with some of this. And there's good leadership. There's good people in charge. And who knows what's different, what's similar versus when Moose was here versus nowadays. But there's got to be some crossover. There's probably some improvement. But there's things that people are dealing with. You know, I wonder about Dannon. You know, how much of the decisions that maybe are connected to him are truly his decisions or not. Also, at the end of the day, you know, I actually kind of look at Rule and I'm like, you know, he's dealing. I've got to be honest. I've known he's dealing with a lot. A lot of people know he's dealing with a lot. But it's a little bit more out there, the types of things that they may or may not be dealing with. And so I think that might factor into how people look at Rule's tenure so far, his tenure going forward, this upcoming season. And I said it at a recent show earlier this week, like, Matt Rule's our head coach. He's not going anywhere. Like, he's not going anywhere. Look at the contract. He's not going anywhere. I know people are frustrated. I'm frustrated. Good Lord. I'm talking about 6-6 next year being a good season. Like, what? What in the world is that? I don't know how you look at it any differently. Somebody's like, I demand 9 wins. Okay, well, I demand you find sanity. I mean, not that it's not possible, but I don't want to live in that world much longer. But it's the world we're in. And the guy in charge of the thing that I care deeply about is that football program. So I'm going to support the guy in charge, and that guy's Matt Rule. And that's how I view it. I don't know how we jumped to that, but that's how I got there. Did that bridge that I just crossed make sense?
Yeah, I got it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, have a glorious day. We'll see you fine folks tomorrow. Go Big Red Nose. Remember to throw the bones.
This episode sponsored by Maximus Tribe. You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower. It's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows, your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.